Mary and I have a dear friend who has an adult son, a fine, upstanding young man, about the age of our children. But it wasn't always so. Oh, don't get me wrong, he was always a good kid. I consider anyone under the age of 50 to be a kid. But when he was a teenager, he developed a superiority complex. For you see, this kid was very smart, probably a genius. However, he tended to look with disdain on all the stupid people in the world. With his intellect, over 99% of the human race was his intellectual inferior. People he considered stupid. Fortunately, his dad, my friend, had a discussion with him in his teenage years, in which Dad reminded his son of the need for him to be patient, understanding, and forgiving with us, stupid people. The talk must have worked because the son, now an adult, is using his intellect, his God-given gifts, to improve the world around him. Today, in the Gospel according to Luke, we hear a similar character with a superiority complex, the Pharisee. This Pharisee is completely convinced of his righteousness before God and harbors a prideful disdain for other people, the greedy, dishonest, and adulterous. Then he makes mention of the tax collector, who he notices in the dark recesses of the temple. Notice his words in the Gospel. The Pharisee took up his position, his own pew, if you would, and spoke his prayer to himself. He's not so much praying to the God of his forefathers as he was itemizing the results of his labor. He fasts and he tithes to a God he's addressing as though he were the Pharisee's employer, with whom he was bound by a purely contractual relationship. The Pharisee feels that if he does his job well, then God will pay him well. That prayer, if it can be called a prayer, is reminding God, his employer, that he was upfront, dependable, and steady on the job. He experiences, however, no intimacy with his God. Acting self-righteously, he condemns less enterprising and conscientious employees, judging them and thereby, in his mind, earning a place in heaven. This delusion that our task in this life is to earn a place in heaven has enjoyed extraordinary staying power throughout the ages, even in otherwise good people. It was definitely a delusion that Jesus confronted constantly, and one that he abhorred. In striking contrast to the Pharisee, Jesus' parable then points out the tax collector, trying to be unnoticed in the recesses of the temple. The tax collector won't even raise his eyes to heaven, but beats his breast and prayed, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." In his prayer, this poor wretch, given his deplorable failings and the Pharisee's scorn, prayed to God out of the depths of his weakness, powerless, a slave to sin. He had nothing with which he could commend himself to God, except that in his desperate plight, he recognized that he could not save himself. He needed to be rescued by his God. Whatever else this tax collector may have done, he had not given up on God or on God's mercy. He addressed God as one who has mercy, love, and grace in abundance. His prayer expresses no self-pity, no blaming others, no bad self-image, no discouragement, but rather he put aside all human illusions and faced up to the fundamental facts of his sin, his desperate plight and his need for God's mercy and love. In the parable, Jesus concludes that he, the tax collector, and not the Pharisee, is justified before God. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. This parable helps us to realize that God is not like our employer with whom we can bargain so as to earn our way into heaven. Rather, when we pray, it's better to bring few illusions about ourselves to the table. Accept the truth of who we are, sinners, one and all, and bow before God asking for his abundant mercy. If we recognize this truth, that we are sinners completely dependent upon God, we gain a wondrous freedom, the freedom of no longer being ashamed of our human condition, but rather throwing ourselves on God's abundant mercy and forgiveness. Then, when our time on this earth is over, we can hopefully, just like St. Paul in the second reading, humbly proclaim, "I have competed well, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith."